This is the FCB Radio Network, home of the best personalities and where real talk lives. Online at FCBRadio.com. FCB.
What's going on? It's your man, Jeff Brown, and you are tuning into another exciting episode of the Jeff Brown Show, and you already know what time it is. I am the host with the most, and I got my man with me, Reverend Do Wrong himself, is back behind the mic, Mr. Liberty, my man, Dario Kingpin Morrow of FCB Network Radio.
What's up,
Network,
brother?
The whole FCB Network. I'm just going to say FCB Network, man. It's just too much FCB. You have FCB this, FCB that, FCB over here, FCB over there. It's, hey, man, listen. It's too much to just stay, you know what I'm saying, to remember. And I'm happy for you, you know what I'm saying? Yet you've expanded, you know what I'm saying?
It's good so, with you, sir.
It's all good. Hey, listen, man, we got a fun interview coming up, which I want to get right into, but I do want to get into some hot topics later on to the show. I want to talk about DJ Khaled, Ashanti. You know, we've seen a lot of black and brown people get their stars on the Walk of Fame. I think they're so dope. Want to definitely talk about Dwayne Haskins. Also want to talk about Chris Rock and his response to getting the interview and his condition and his requirement. And just a couple more little things I want to talk about. But right now, I want to go ahead and check out my interview. I want the people to check out my interview, everybody that's listening right now, with Republican candidate Lee Weingartner for Cuyahoga County Executive. This guy is amazing, great mind, great ideas, and I believe that he has something to say. So listen, let's go over and listen to my interview right now. What's going on? I told y'all that I had my man, the campaign man himself, that's hitting the streets. Republican candidate for Cuyahoga Executive is my man, Lee Weingartner. Man, let me tell you something, man. I'm very impressed with you. You know why? Your slogan says, hey, I'm not talking about ideology. I'm really talking about ideas. And, you know, me personally, man, just really doing my history on you and just really getting to know you personally, man. It's been a pleasure, but I'm not here to convince anyone that's on my platform. But what I want to do is give opportunity for the candidates that could possibly represent our community. One of the things I'm really focusing on right now, Lee, and I think you may agree with this, that even though we may be in two different parties, but we have to really get back to what makes the community better, ideas that affect the urban community, because your history, man, and your resume really talks about, you know, and shows actions and how you've made significant investments into the Glenville, Collinwood area, and just continuing to do that, how you've invested into small businesses in the urban community. And so, Lee, I know I've given maybe an inkling of an introduction for you. I want you to give a small introduction on who you are to the listening audience so that way they can kind of take some notes. And I'm asking everybody that's here, take some notes. This is how we get to know our candidates as we are in a very important election year. So go ahead, Lee. Talk to my people, man.
Well, thank you, Jeff. So I'm Lee Weingart. I am running for Cuyahoga County Executive. I am a father, husband of 28 years, father of three children. I started and run a small business for the last 20 years. Previous to that, I was the last Republican to serve as Cuyahoga County Commissioner in the mid-1990s, back when the county was growing both in terms of population and in terms of jobs. And the last 25 years, under single-party administration, we've seen the county shrink in jobs and shrink in population. And so after being out of office for 26 years, I've decided to get back in and run for county executive. And my focus really is on the urban core of the county, where we've seen massive disinvestment, redlining, and starving of resources for, well, let's say 100 years, certainly 50, probably 100. And my vision for the county, which is called Calgary 2030, and you can find it on my website, weingart2022.com, is to massively invest in the urban core of the county, which is City of Cleveland and the first ring suburbs. Three different programs. The first is called 10,000 Homes for Calgary County. It's a $600 million program to help 10,000 inner city and first ring suburban families build, buy, renovate, or repair a private home. I think we can get 30 or 40,000 people into private homes through this program. The second program is to concentrate our job creation efforts on the urban core and commit to creating 4,000 jobs, paying at least $25 an hour with benefits that do not require college degrees in the urban core where most unemployed people live, so they can take the bus or walk to work. And then the third piece is an urban entrepreneurship fund. When I started my business 20 years ago, I could have walked into any bank in Cleveland and on my signature gotten the money I needed to start a business. That's not the case ordinarily with urban entrepreneurs. So I want to create a $10 million fund targeting urban entrepreneurs to help 250 new businesses form and grow. That provides money for both training and for startup capital. So through home ownership, targeting job creation and entrepreneurship, I believe we can generate wealth that starts and stays in the urban core of Cuyahoga County, and finally address issues like poverty, unemployment, hopelessness, and crime.
You know what? You talk about home ownership. To me, I'm a real estate investor outside of being a syndicated radio host, right, Lee? And we've talked, we had these conversations. Why is home ownership so important?
Sure.
And why do you think there's so much value in real estate here right now?
Yep. So for most Americans, the number one asset they have is their home. And if you look at home ownership, it really brings three things to a community. First, it stabilizes a family. There's a book called Evicted, which looks at five families in Milwaukee in the early 2000s and how they were always looking for the next apartment or public housing area to live. They spent so much time looking for rental properties, they didn't have time for job training, job, and their kids' education.
Mm-hmm.
When we put those families into homes that they own, we stabilize the family. And so they know where they're going home to every night. That allows parents to spend more time on, you know, getting college degrees, getting job training, getting a job, and focusing on their children's education. Secondly, we create wealth, intergenerational wealth through homeownership. 90 years ago, the federal government had programs to help white families do that. That's how we got the middle class in suburban America.
Correct.
Those programs were not available to black families 90 years ago. So if you have private housing, a home that you own, you create intergenerational wealth. And then thirdly, safety. We know that communities where there are large percentages of homeownership are safer communities. In fact, the Buckeye Woodhill neighborhood back in 2016 was a very high crime area. Well, Habitat for Humanity came in and they built 60 or 70 homes so that 4 years later, by 2020, the high crime areas were almost gone and it was a much safer community because people took pride. They owned a piece of the community in their home and they made sure the community stayed safe. So it's important to create stability for a family, stability for the community, and intergenerational wealth.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're talking about that, man. And you make a great point because the middle class was built off of subsidies and programming that was given by the government to the white community. And now, from what I'm understanding and what I've been learning, that it's really not about black or white, but you understand the significant value that the black community has here. Because from what I'm gathering, I think we can be the next urban mecca if it's done right. Well, I mean, would you agree with that?
I agree. You know, it's funny. The words affirmative action, when they were first introduced, were for white families. It was through the VA, through the Federal Housing Administration, to provide subsidies for housing, for college, and to start a business. It was only in the 1960s when affirmative action became associated with non-white families. So the government was very active in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, helping white families get advantages. And I think, you know, our government locally can have a very similar approach when it comes to urban families. Now that's black and white both, and brown. But it's families that have been denied resources through redlining and other devices. And it's just time that we inject wealth into the community. Yes, Cleveland is a city that could be the next great urban mecca. You know, we've shrunk in size. We're down to about 380,000 people, but that's okay. I mean, that means we've got a smaller population and we can help grow that population again and grow wealth in the community. So I'd love to work with Justin Bibb, the new mayor of Cleveland, who I've known since he was, I think, 19 years old. He was an intern for my company in 2007. To work hand in hand with him on his initiatives and the county's initiatives to really help those in the urban core of the county, which is the city of Cleveland, and then first ring suburbs like East Cleveland, Garfield Heights, Maple Heights, and Cleveland Heights.
That's interesting, man, you say that. Listen, I got to talk to you about East Cleveland. I'm glad you talk about that. Listen, I'm going to take a break, and we're going to come right back with my man, the Republican candidate for Cuyahoga County Executive, Mr. Lee Weingart. We'll be right back. More of the Jeff Brown Show.
Have you ever wondered what really goes on behind the scenes in the entertainment industry? Join me, Victoria Henley from Cycle 19 of America's Next Top Model, for an inside look at fashion shows, concerts, and a wide variety of events throughout the United States, featuring exclusive and insightful interviews with both seasoned and up-and-coming artists. Listen in and subscribe to Backstage Pass with Victoria, an FCB radio podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jeff Brown Show.
And we're back, Got my man Lee Weingart on, the Republican candidate for Cuyahoga County Executive. You know, Lee, you know, you were talking earlier on about the northeast side of town, you know, East Cleveland, Cleveland Heights. You know, I had opportunity to, I want to thank you for the invitation to the City Club. Man, it was a great atmosphere. It was a lot of great conversation, great ideas, man. And one of the things you talked about, which really kind of really helped me to understand you even the more, was your vision and your ideas and your plan, because we can have ideas, but how realistically can we execute these ideas? And one thing I do like about you is that you do have ideas that are executable. They're not far-fetched. They're not something that, you know, we're just throwing out there and we hoping that we hit a target, right? You talk about East Cleveland. I'm from East Cleveland. I went to Roselle, went to Focus Scope. I went to the Old Kirk and I went to the Old Shaw, right?
Yeah.
And as you know, East Cleveland is one of the most economically deprived cities or suburbs, actually, in Cuyahoga County. You said at the City Club that, hey, I can help East Cleveland. I have a plan that can actually bring resources back to East Cleveland. We can help those families and those residents there. I don't think East Cleveland should be taken by Cleveland or Cleveland Heights. East Cleveland can stand on itself if we give them the help and the support they need. How do you plan to do that? And how do you go about doing that? Especially with
what's interesting the conditions there. There's already a group that controls quite a few parcels in East Cleveland at the border of Cleveland, East Cleveland, and Cleveland Heights. Something like 120 parcels. And it's a nonprofit corporation, so it's not, you know, a for-profit. I think my 10,000 Homes Initiative would be great in East Cleveland, and East Cleveland could be a prototype even for what we're talking about. You know, trying to build a couple hundred homes there, and then move families into those homes who we've run through some qualification around training for home ownership, financial management, so that they're ready to go and be successful in East Cleveland. What's good about East Cleveland is it's really small. It's 3 square miles and 11,000 residents. So it's something I think that can be saved. And what it has going that no other community has around it is proximity to great wealth at University Circle. And it's a shame that there hasn't been more help from University Circle Incorporated for East Cleveland the last 15 years. I will bring that help as county executive. So I'm willing to invest millions and millions of dollars from the county to help East Cleveland rebuild itself. So we talk about housing, my 10,000 homes initiative. There are also a lot of commercial properties that are vacant, a lot of lots that can be redeveloped for commercial and retail. And so I would work with businesses in Cuyahoga County and outside Cuyahoga County to bring facilities, whether they be small headquarters or retail stores, to East Cleveland and try and start filling up some of those empty lots on Euclid Avenue and some of the other parts of East Cleveland. I think in 4 years, you could see a transformation of that city. I would also, the county, have the Sheriff's Department provide more deputy support in East Cleveland. So we know that East Cleveland has a problem, you know, maintaining an adequate police force because of budget constraints. I would enhance what they're already doing with their police by having more sheriff's deputies on the street. So that allows the East Cleveland police to do more community-based policing and getting to know the residents and neighbors better, which I think helps create a better atmosphere between the police and the people who live in East Cleveland. What I said to the City Club was, if I did nothing else as county executive, if I could help East Cleveland become a great city again, then I would consider my term as executive a success. I really believe that if we just lean in with some resources and we work with the people of East Cleveland, and let me stress this again, this has to be an East Cleveland-led transformation. The county can provide resources and leadership and connections, but it's going to be Mayor Brandon King and the City Council and others in East Cleveland that are going to bring that city back to its former glory of the 1950s and 60s.
I agree with you when you talk about, and that was going to be my next question, and you kind of talking about it now, you alluded to it. How do you get the mayor where the leadership in East Cleveland has been in somewhat, most people would say, a failure to the city, right? We understand that it's challenging when there's not enough resources, but we also have had a history of mayors and leadership, city council in East Cleveland that have really dropped the ball. How do you hold them accountable with the resources that you're willing, if elected, to invest back into that community? Because you got to think about it like this, right? Most of the residents there, they got high taxes on houses that they're pretty much upside down, right?
Yep.
The point of sale inspection there is outrageous. Okay. Yep. So it's not really accommodating enough. You know, I think there should be some type of accountability.
Sure.
But if you have a city like East Cleveland, a suburb, that's hurting, and the people are hurting there financially that are the homeowners, it's almost like, how do you expect them to win? High taxes,
right.
the water, I mean, you got issues with the water, you got the sewer, you got all these different things that's going on. So when I look at you as a county exec, I'm looking at you as an executive, that's what you are. And so you have to be able to say, man, this money has to be dispersed in this manner, you know, because we want to see this type of progress.
Yep.
So how do you hold that leadership accountable to make sure that the residents are benefiting and seeing? What about tax abatements for them? I mean, is that possible?
Yeah. So let's start with the housing piece, my 10,000 homes initiative. You know, that the government never touches that money. That money goes directly to the family. The money from the county is down payment assistance. And then we leverage money from the banks for mortgages on these privately owned homes. So, you know, local government's not going to ever see it. It's going to go right to the family. When it comes to other development initiatives within East Cleveland or any community for that matter, you know, we'll want to have an agreement between the county and the city. And we will have a shared vision for how the county's resources are going to be used in the community. If it's additional crime fighting support, you know, through the sheriff's office with more deputies, we'll want to have an agreement on that. If it's money for infrastructure improvement on some of the streets, we have money for that. You know, if the city is thinking broadly, and like my view is Forest Hills Park probably ought to be part of the county park system. And, you know, that takes it off the books of the city and they're no longer managing it, paying for it. And the county parks do a wonderful job. Metro Parks do a wonderful job of managing our parks around the county. The library in East Cleveland is not part of the county system. You might consider having it be part of the county system. And then doing what they did in Warrensville Heights, which was to add a YMCA next to it. So you have a county-run library for education, and you have a YMCA next to it for athletic activities. And I would want to participate in all those things. But, you know, I would want to make sure that city council was on board, the mayor was on board. Again, it's the vision has to be come from the leadership of the city and from the citizens of the city. Yeah. I just want to be, you know, the person, the government that is funding that vision to really transform East Cleveland and make it a great city again.
Wow. And, you know, I like what you're saying with the YMCA, because when I was growing up there years ago, we had a YMCA. You know, to see that it's not there, you know, and you see all these abandoned apartment buildings.
Yep.
It's disheartening to see, but I do believe that there's a brighter day coming for East Cleveland. I just believe that it has to be with a person who has good vision, good leadership, and integrity in order to make that happen.
Yep.
And you know, and like I said, I support you, man, and what you do. I really like what you're doing. When you talk about funding, as you said, it's difficult for Black business owners to get money. Let's be honest, man, right?
Yep.
How would that money be dispersed? What are some basic qualifications that you would say, hey, as a business owner, okay, Jeff, you got a home renovation business, your experience, you know, we've seen that your taxes says that, hey, you make X amount of dollars a year, you know, here's how you qualify. How does that work, you know, for a person who owns a barbershop or hair salon or somebody who has a restaurant, or they're selling antique jewelry or customized jewelry or boutique. Yep. How does that work?
Yep. So last year I worked with the United Black Fund to secure $500,000 from Sherrod Brown to start a Black entrepreneurship program through the United Black Fund. This is very important. I think the money for Black entrepreneurs has to run through Black-led organizations. When it doesn't do that, if it runs through a white-led organization, the money mysteriously goes into the payroll of the white-led organization and never into the hands of the Black entrepreneur. So we want to use this initial program, the United Black Fund program, which is $500,000 to help train 50 or 100 entrepreneurs, Black entrepreneurs, in more resilient businesses. Businesses that can withstand a pandemic or even an economic downturn. So we're going to bring a group up from Cincinnati called Mortar, which really transformed the business community in Cincinnati, made it much friendlier for Black entrepreneurship. So, you know, do a test program this year and then grow dramatically to be a $10 million program next year when I'm county executive. You know, it'll be like any other investment fund where entrepreneurs got to demonstrate, you know, that they have the experience and the plan, the business plan to be successful. So part of the money will be used for training, which I think is very important for any entrepreneur to get good economic training. And then, you know, the rest of it will be used for initial investments. So we're not talking about grants or loans. We're talking about investment. So they'll get money from the fund, and that fund will become a shareholder or a partial owner in their company. And if the company, you know, does well and grows and distributes the profits, well, that goes back into the entrepreneurship funds. We can even fund more entrepreneurs.
So this is based on experience of the business, or is it credit driven?
So I think it'll be experience and business plan. You know, we have to be careful with credit scores, because they don't always reveal the full story of somebody's vision for a new business.
So, you know,
unfortunately, you know, the banks use credit scores to determine if you're eligible or not for a loan. My view is, because of disinvestment in the city of Cleveland, because of a lack of resources for entrepreneurs, you know, we may look at people that don't have ideal credit scores, but have a really good vision for a new company or a new idea. And we'll want to fund
track record. Or a track record.
Look, you know, I am personally invested in some investment funds. If you invest in 10 companies, typically two or three are going to blow up. They're going to, you know, bottom out and become a big zero. You might get one or two winners out of 10. That's the standard when it comes to entrepreneurship funds for, let's be clear, white entrepreneurs. So we ought to apply the same standards to Black entrepreneurs. Not every, you know, out of 10, not all 10 are going to be successful. That's why it's a risky investment. But one or two out of 10 are going to be home runs. And that's how you grow the community. So you'll have some failures, you'll have some middling performers, but you'll have some people knocking out of the park. And that's how you grow you know, your business community, your business environment in the inner city. And so I want to do that with not just, you know, 10 or 20, but at least 250 entrepreneurs going through this $10 million program. And if 250, you know, a lot aren't going to succeed, but a lot will. And the ones that will, I think, can transform the environment in the urban core of Cuyahoga County.
I got to ask you this. You know, we know that Mayor Bibb has only been in the office going on maybe 60, 75 days.
He's 100 days tomorrow.
He's 100 days tomorrow, yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah.
How do you rate what he's doing so far?
So I think he's done a great job of assembling a diverse, young, and ambitious cabinet. And I think that's, you know, really the first sign for an executive, whether it be mayor, county executive, or a business executive, is surrounding him or herself with really visionary, qualified people. And Justin certainly checks that box. He's done a nice job of attracting experience and youth to his cabinet. So now that the snow is gone, which I think is probably his happiest thing, yeah, right. You know, he can really focus on his vision for the city of Cleveland, which is to grow Cleveland again, to make it a city on the rise, not a city in decline. Right. And he's got a partner in me for that, because I recognize that the vast majority of the investments we're going to make in Cuyahoga County are going to be in Cleveland and in the certain first ring suburbs. So The last time the mayor and the county worked together was probably when I was county commissioner and Mike White was the mayor, and we brought football back to Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns, in 1995.
Yeah.
Since then, you've had the city and county on parallel tracks. And I think if you work together, not combined governments, we wanted two separate governments, city and county, but work together, leverage the joint resources of the city and county, we can do wonderful things for the residents of Cleveland and of the first ring suburbs.
Hey, you know what? You're talking about the Browns, man. I'm not going to ask that question that was asked at the city club, okay? That I don't know where the hell that came from. But I want to ask you, you know, we just experienced the NBA All-Star Weekend. I thought it was great. I thought it was good for the city. I thought it was something that the city needed in our economy. I thought it was a big, big boost. I mean, I'm pretty sure you would agree with that, right? What do we do? Hypothetically, once all the groundwork is done, you're elected, and you get, you know, you start bringing in these new businesses and doing putting your plan in place with housing and everything like that. Is it possible, Lee, that we could possibly get a dome on the stadium? Is it possible?
So I think that's what the Browns probably want, is a dome on the stadium to get a Super Bowl here.
Super Bowl here.
To get other, you know, get more use out of the stadium. Look, I like when Cleveland is featured nationally, internationally, whether it be a convention, all-star game, or a draft. And I certainly would never discourage that activity. But I must tell you that I think we need to invest for longer-term economic growth. I look at Franklin County. Mm-hmm. You know, Columbus got the Intel project, which could be up to $100 billion in value over the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Columbus is not quite as focused on conventions, on all-star games, and drafts. They invest for the long term. And we're talking tens of thousands of high-paying jobs, some of which don't require a college degree. So I really want to focus the county's resources on creating 4,000 jobs that are at least $25 an hour with benefits that don't require college degrees. Because if you invest in the long-term economic health of the county, you see much better long-term results. These sort of three-day events are nice. They soothe our ego to think that the world's looking at Cleveland, but we really need to invest for the next 25 or 30 years, which they're doing in Franklin County. Now, what's interesting about that Intel project is it's not even in Franklin County. It's in Licking County, which is adjacent to Franklin County.
Yeah.
So I think we need to focus, you know, more broadly than just Cuyahoga County. Think about other counties that have more land for development, like Lake County or Lorain County or Geauga County. As long as some of those jobs are going to Cuyahoga County residents, I think we ought to be thinking as a region, not just as individual counties, to promote economic long-term growth in Northeast Ohio.
Well, there you have it. Listen, man, all good things must come to an end. Thank you, Lee, for stopping by,
man. Thank you so much.
Hey, listen, brother, I appreciate you. I love what you're doing, man. Keep up what you're doing out there. Keep campaigning. Keep knocking on those doors, man. And I know the future is bright for you. Listen, can you leave your contact information so anyone that wants to reach out to you that heard the show wants to connect with you, give them some information, man?
Sure. So my email is Lee, L-E-E, at Weingart, W-E-I-N-G-A-R-T, 2022, Weingart2022.com. And my cell phone is 216-496-3416.
Well, there
email
you have it.
Or
you
call don't get... your heart's content.
Well, you don't get no direct than that, man. Left his whole number on the show. Listen, don't get no direct than that. Lee, we appreciate you, man. Hey, we'll be right back.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it, man. Have a great night.
Show. Thank you, Lee.
Peace.
These days, it seems like everybody's talking, but no one is actually listening to the things they're saying. Critical thinking isn't dead, but it's definitely low on oxygen. Join me, Kira Davis, on Just Listen to Yourself every week as we reason through issues big and small, critique our own ideas, and learn to draw our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Subscribe to Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis and FCB Radio Podcast on Apple, on Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jeff Brown Show.
Man, that was a dope interview with my man, Lee Weingart. I'm telling you, if you heard this interview and you want to continue to connect with Lee, make sure you guys go back and get his information and connect. Man, I ain't never had no guest come on my show and get a full phone number. He might have to change. Hey, listen, he may have to change that when he gets elected, if he gets elected, right?
Oh, man.
Lee,
can you imagine what's all the phone calls he's going to get?
I mean, Lee, you told me I could call you.
What about this pothole over here?
What about my taxes?
Right, right.
Man, Lord knows. Man, I have all the respect in the world for Lee, man. You know what? That could actually garner my vote. You know what I'm saying?
I couldn't do it. Would you give your number out like that?
Hell no. What? No. Lee, man, hey, guess what? The man's campaigning. I've had a governor candidate on here. I've had two prominent candidates for congressional for District 11. We had all kinds of celebrities, everybody. Nobody's ever given a phone number like that.
Listen, man.
It is. Indeed. Hey, man, listen. It speaks volume to that man's character. Just call me.
Yeah,
can you imagine the calls he's probably getting right now?
Oh, man.
Poor Jake, his campaign manager.
Small ringing off the hook.
Man. Oh, my God. Can you imagine, man? That's just, that's rough. Okay.
Great.
Well, that's my man. Y'all got the number. Go ahead. Let's
give him a call.
Give him a call. Yeah, he gave you the number. Hey, who gave you my number? You did. Glad you listened to the show. Jeff gave it to you. I gave it to you. Yeah, the Jeff Brown Show. This is funny. But anyway, man, listen, this is a lot of hot topics I want to touch base on, man. Who is the most honest person in the world, you know, brother?
The most honest person in the world? My mother.
Yeah. Nope. She is honest. She's very honest. I love Mama D. Big shout out to her. But she's not the honest person in the world right now, I guess, according to this particular source. Donald Trump was at a rally, and he told the people at the rally, man, that he is the most honest human being that God has ever created. Man, I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hey, man, if he's honest, my God, I have a lot of work to do in my life, man. For real, I do. So, yeah, I do, man. Let me ask you a question. You know, when you talk about campaigning, and, you know, we're not even talking about party. You're talking about people in general, man. Does anything go now, man, in campaign? I think it does, man. You can just say anything to the audience that you are catering to, and they'll believe it.
I think it's been like that for quite some time, man. People have what they call confirmation bias. So they believe what they want to believe. You want to hear things that agree with your own personal narrative. So I think it's politics has been like that for quite some time. So
yeah, you know, you tell people, hey, you know, I turned water into wine. You did. You turned water into wine. I was walking on water.
Yeah.
It'd just be the funniest thing, man. I just, you know, and then, you know, with media and what we do, it's good. I guess it's good for business, man. It's good for business. I mean, hey, because everybody's going to report on it. Everything goes viral. Nothing, you know, just like last week, guy who was dead, they were sitting up in the club, viral. You know,
Lord have mercy.
Yeah. Big shout out to my girl, Lily SWV. She showed me some love on Instagram because she did.
I saw that.
Yeah, you know, just interesting. And, you know, it's just interesting, man, that people have different views of everything, man. You got some people like, man, that's so weird. And it's so out of pocket. And then there's some people like, yeah, that's the best way to go. My best friend even called me and said, man, that's how I want to go.
What?
I said, I won't be there.
Man,
I can't even look at you looking at that. And you don't even drink.
Never,
he drink. I said, you want a cup of ginger ale in your hand?
How could I sleep, man? I couldn't sleep at night after seeing that, man.
Man, yeah, you want somebody to look at you like that?
Just standing up, just chilling dead.
Like, hey, there you go, right there. There you go. You see him? You see such and such? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you right go. There. They put a glass in his hand and everything.
Yeah, he ain't going nowhere. They probably do drinks.
Yeah, he's chilling at the club.
Yeah, oh, right?
That's
yeah, I know. Man, I want to give a big shout out, man. Moving on to some more hot topics. DJ Khaled and Ashanti over the past week have received their stars on the Walk of Fame, man. Awesome. I'm loving what I'm seeing, man. I'm seeing a lot of diversity with that, man. I think it's dope. Big shout out to them. I love Ashanti, man. When she came to Cleveland for All-Star Weekend, I went to that concert. You was there.
Yeah, we both were there.
Yeah, man. Oh, man.
You remember that? Did you see the guy who tried to get on stage?
Hey, man.
Dressing like a K. Martinelli.
I thought that was you. I said, man, look at Darvio, man. He trying to get a feel. I like Darvio trying to get.
That sound like I wouldn't want to steal your style. That sound like something you would do.
I ain't gonna walk on stage, man. I'm trying to get backstage passes, bro. I ain't trying to walk because I ain't gonna get in bed. You gonna throw me off stage, nigga. You ain't gonna throw me off stage.
They threw him smooth off.
Hey, man, too. The funniest thing ever, man. I wonder if anybody got that on video. Mm.
We need
to do a throwback Thursday on that, man. Also, in other news, also, man, I want to give our shout out, our prayers to the Haskins family and the loss of NFL star, Ohio State superstar, Dwayne Haskins, who was killed this past weekend. He was struck by a dump truck. And there's an investigation. Yeah, man, I mean, what a way to go, man. That's just crazy. Oh, like, man. 24 years old, man? Come on, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man. So he had a bright future, a lot of potential. And you know, it's just sad, man, that, you know, his life was shortened like that. So our prayers go out to he and his family. And, man, we just hope that God would give them strength during this time. But on a side note, man, since the Will Smith slap, everybody wants to know what the backstory is behind the Will Smith slap.
Right.
Well, Chris Rock has said that he will not do any interviews unless he's paid. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You see? It's always about
the money.
Let me tell you something, man. Chris Rock ain't even that funny to me. Is he funny to you?
Not, you know what? My people swear. I got some people that swear by him, but I've never been crazy about Chris Rock. I did like.
Hey, he's not funny
I like the show. Everybody Hates Chris. I did like that.
Hey, that but
as far as like his stand up and stuff, I ain't never really been crazy.
He hasn't never really been. He's not David Chappelle. He's not.
Oh, not at all.
He's not Bernie Mac. He's okay. He's not Cat Williams or. You know, even Steve Harvey, man, is funny. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Cedric. You know, we talk about D.L. Hughley. You know,
I was never a big fan of
Earthquake. you know, our own Coco Brown. You know what I'm saying? They're great comedians, right? So
Coco Brown will have you in tears, man.
Yeah, listen, man. Amazing. You know, and by the way, big shout out to her. She and I are actually launching our new Instagram Live show called
I can't wait to watch
WTF. What the blank you say tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you know.
Tuesday.
6 p.m. Every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and at 6 p.m. Pacific. So make sure you guys tune in to all my West Coast people. You know what I'm saying? Going down. Make sure you guys go follow us on Instagram. I am official Jeff Brown Show page on Instagram, and you can go follow her. That is Coco Brown, one funny mama. So all that's good stuff there, man. So yeah, man. How much you think his interview would be worth, man?
Man, I don't know. And I saw the quote, and I was wondering, is he talking about getting paid by the interviewers, or is he talking about he's gonna sue Will, and he ain't gonna talk until after that?
He said, in order for him to do an open interview, he wants bread. But guess what? When Will and Jada hit the red table and talk about it, I don't think his interview gonna be valuable.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you know, we'll see, man. So we'll see how that go. Hey, listen, man. Next show, y'all, we're gonna have a funny relationship corner subject for you. More hot topics, more conversation. I want to thank everybody. Make sure you guys go subscribe right now on the Jeff Brown Show. To the Jeff Brown Show on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast on your favorite listening device. Darvio, what did you learn today? Real quick, let's get out of here, man.
So two things. One, want to send a quick shout out for people who can't see. I love that Martin Luther King hoodie you're rocking. That's dope. That's dope.
Oh, appreciate that. Thank you.
You know, I'm a Martin Luther King guy, so I love that. But what I learned is that Jeff put in his will that his repass is going to be at the strip club.
Bring your dollars. And what I learned is that Darby at his funeral gonna want red dress shoes with diamonds on them. Listen, he matches glasses that he got on his Zoom link, his profile, his avatar. But listen, hey, listen, this has been another fun, exciting episode of the Jeff Brown Show. Again, make sure you guys go subscribe on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're going to listen to your podcast on your favorite listening device, man. Big shout out to Rhythm 105.9 in Sacramento, California. We love you. Talk to you soon. Peace.
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.